excited to bring in my partner for the KOC Game of the Week for high school football, former Tennessee coach, 25 years of coaching experience on the FBS level. I could spend the whole time running through his resume, which is actually what he wanted me to do, but I think we'll just talk Tennessee football instead. Kidding, of course. Don, partner, how are you?
Oh, it's always great to be with you, partner, and just a little bit of a bonus. Start of the week and the end of the week, it doesn't get any better.
100%. I'm not going to take your time talking about what happened at the end of the game. We all know, you know, that was crazy. You don't want to see anything like that. It's very unfortunate. So I'm not going to take your time talking about that because I want to get your coach's thoughts on it. But just real quick, have you as a coach in all your years of experience, have you been a part of debris flying towards the sideline on the field and in any of the games that you have been a part of as a coach?
You know, no. I obviously had an opportunity to coach in some, you know, environments in which the fans were as loud and as wild as you can get. But fortunately, I never came across something like that. I think there was probably a few that wanted to throw some stuff at me, didn't happen, but no, I was never a part of that, and really just an unfortunate situation.
Good. All right, let's talk about the game. Obviously, there's so many aspects of that game that were critical. A lot of fans talking about guys dropping, the faking of injuries. Real quick, from that aspect, do you think that's a problem in college football right now, guys going down frequently and trying to slow down offensive tempos?
Absolutely. And it's going to continue. You know, the number of times that it happened Saturday, I think, is going to continue the rest of the year for Tennessee because they are so fast and so just, you know, they're so efficient with being fast that that's what teams are relying on. And there's just got to be something that's done about it because it's just not right. If it's that player that may need to be out for an extended number of plays after an injury, somewhat like they do with the helmet coming off, you know, for protection of that player. But that was quite a few that went down through the course of the game.
So would you be in favor of a lengthier forced stay out of a game, whether it's three plays, five plays, rest of the drive? Would is that what, if you had your way, that you would prefer to see, or is there another solution?
No, I think that's exactly right. I think it's got to be something that's put in play where there's at least three plays that the right medical attention is given to that young man for the reason of having to come out for being down like he is. Because the hard one is, and where the frustration sets in for all of us, you know, the players, fans, and so forth, is it's that player down, out, he's back in the next play. Mm-hmm. Well, obviously you say, well, how severe was it? Well, it was cramps. Well, Saturday night was about as cool as it gets in a night game through all day of hydration and the way it is today with nutrition and all, especially at the college level. There's got to be time spent for an athlete that goes down on a given play.
Don Mahoney joining us, sharing his analysis on Tennessee and Ole Miss. He's my color analyst and partner for the KOC Game of the Week this Friday night, both on AM 990 and 99.1. We will have Halls at Central, so looking forward to that. That will start at 7 p.m. here on the Sports Animal. Don, I mentioned this in the last segment. Matt Corral, 195 rushing yards when you take out the sacks, rushing in that game on 30 attempts. He moved the chains and picked up 11 first downs in the game. I mean, insane. And all but one of them were, excuse me, all but two of them were 6 yards to go or greater. In fact, five of them were double-digit yards to go to move the chains, and he still picked those up. What was Tennessee doing or not doing that opened that up, in your opinion, for Matt Corral?
Well, I think it was, you know, whether it be at times if it was a, you know, a scramble and not maybe so much a design run, as always, where a rush by a defender is not keeping the proper points on the quarterback in the pocket as to where he's at. At times, the coverage being more of the emphasis, maybe being lost from the second level defenders to be able to get to him. I think all those things combined with some of those things that happened, allowing him to gain the yardage that he did, as well as the basics of, maybe not being in a right fit. I looked at it this, through the course of from Saturday to today, what an outstanding player he is. Mm-hmm. I saw a thing today where Matt Corral was like over the weekend was the fourth highest rated quarterback on his performance. Hendon Hooker was eighth. So I just think some guys got a little bit out of their, their lanes or, where they needed to be, gap sound, which hurt them. But look, I know Tim Banks for a long time. Mm-hmm. We coached together. I think Tim's doing an outstanding job. It's unfortunate that, a week ago, Arkansas gives up 52 points against them. I think our defense did a heck of a job. That was one area that they struggled in just a little bit with not being as sound as they needed to be.
I mean, Coach, they were on the field for 101 plays, and they didn't look gassed at the end. Plus, they held Ole Miss to 31 points, and seven of those were after the punt return fumble that gave them the ball at the 11-yard line. I think that's, despite the yards, that's pretty impressive.
It's so impressive. And you look at it again, too. I looked at the stats. They scored once in the second half.
Yeah.
So as people look at it and say, well, wait, did they make adjustments? They scored 7 points in the second half. I tell you, that quarterback, I haven't really watched him too much. After Saturday, I said that's one of the most impressive quarterbacks in college football and fun to watch. And really all the numbers statistically, both offense and defensively, so close. And the turnover you mentioned about, I think there's a lot to be said for just how well and how hard the defense played. That was just one area that could have been better for them. And, hey, hats off to Matt Corral. He's a heck of a player.
Coach, I still have a number of questions for you. Can you hang over a break with us?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool.
Time spent with you is the best.
Yeah, the only thing is I can't, elbow you or vice versa is what usually happens in the –
Absolutely.
All right, more with Don Mahoney, former college football assistant coach. Get his analysis on Tennessee and Ole Miss. We're going to talk about that offensive line specifically. It was thinned even more on Saturday. What did he think about the O-line's play and the O-line moving forward? Don Mahoney continues with us next. Rejoined by Don Mahoney, who is my color analyst for the KOC Game of the Week on high school football here on the Sports Animal this Friday night, 7 p.m. It'll be Halls at Central, both on 99.1 and AM 990, since Central is playing at Powell. What a tilt that is on Rivalry Thursday. And John and Rob will have the call Thursday night here on the Sports Animal. So, Coach, let's get back to Tennessee and Ole Miss. And we were talking about Hendon Hooker, and you pointed him out and his efficiency at that position. Great news today. Josh Heupel saying he did not think that his injury is long-term. So don't know the status for this Saturday for him. But, man, what he has meant for this Tennessee football team is incredible. Just big picture and what you've seen from Hendon Hooker at quarterback for Tennessee.
Yeah, really in total command of the speed of that offense. Just how well he, once one play is done, good or bad, is already in charge of the next play. His body language, the way he carries himself, it all starts and ends with him. He does such a good job of getting the guys where they need to be in the speed at which they play at. But then also his ability to make the plays that he does. And I know that, you would like to have some more opportunities to use him in the run game, but you also got to be careful, kind of like a pitch count, how many times he may get hit or what is his health or what's the backup's health with Milton and so forth, that you kind of got to be careful with that. But, man, he is fun to watch as well. And, there's a few balls here and there you'd like to – see completed and so forth, but he's had his share. And again, what what a job he's been doing as of late for them.
He had a career-high 23 rushing attempts in the game, and a lot of that came in the second half. Coach, he didn't have his first non-sack run until late in the second quarter. His second one was mid-third quarter. Any thoughts? Is that him in the RPO game not seeing things? Do you think that's by design and not put too much on him? What do you think about that heavy load late as opposed to early when we see Tennessee play pretty well in the first half of games?
Yeah, I think it's probably, again, just being careful of the, you know, the amount of times that you do want him to carry the ball. You know, and there's times in which you got to really make the play call to where it's the run to the back or the throw as opposed to them keeping it just to keep them protected. And again, it may be stemming as much too as what's the situation for the backups, as that, you know, but it is such a good weapon for you to have as an offense, but you just got to be careful to keep him healthy.
Hendon Hooker has accounted for 18 touchdowns this year. He also has 116 attempts without throwing an interception. That's current right now. That's the eighth longest streak in program history. Ran for over 100 yards, 108 in the game. It's the third time he's done that in his career. Did it twice at Virginia Tech with a couple games over 150 yards. I just think it's tough when he's your leading rusher. They missed Tyon Evans, I thought, in that game. Now, part of the running game, Coach, is the offensive line. And Cade Mays only played a few snaps early before he went down. And Dane Davis, the former walk-in, went in at right tackle. It's not the starting O-line since Cooper Mays is not back yet at center. And Carvin slides in there with Ollie Lane at guard. But what do you think overall of how that offensive line performed in that Ole Miss game?
I'll tell you, I think they did a heck of a job considering the injuries that happened and happened early in the game. I mean, when you rush for 222 yards, you have 467 yards of total offense, they're doing something right. You know, you obviously, you know, try to always avoid the negative plays that you can, but I think that's where Josh Heupel does a great job, and respect him so much in the offensive staff, is that I think he does a good job of really working to keep those situations from happening. Meaning, you know, if it's a third and long situation, maybe not quite the strength of the pass protection at this point in time of running just a shuffle. It's kind of like a delayed draw. I just think he does a really good job of, you know, picking and choosing when to put them in a stressful situation and given the people that they have to play in some of the spots that they're at. I think they're doing a heck of a job, as they've done all season. And unfortunately, it's this point in the year, Vince, where the injuries do happen and they start to add up, and you hate that it's that many, especially in one area. But I think as a whole, they held it together and, you know, allowed an opportunity to put themselves in position to win Saturday.
Don Mahoney joining us here talking Tennessee football. Moving forward, Coach, and final minute with you, really appreciate your time. Moving forward, what positives did you take out of that Ole Miss game that you think can carry over moving forward? Obviously, you got a tough one in Alabama, of course, but what are some things that you, some positives you've seen from this team that you think can help them sustain and finish out well this season?
I just think that they're building each week with what they do, starting back to Florida, that there's so many things positive that they're gaining on and from different people that they're having to rely on, that I just think that there's a lot to be excited about in terms of the whole program, defensively, offensively. I just think that it's going in the right direction, and there's some guys that need to, you know, mature a lot faster than they maybe had hoped. Some guys that are in some spots that they maybe weren't quite expecting, but I just see a lot of confidence in the way those players are playing, and you see their body language. They're a fun watch, well coached, and I expect each week good things to happen because of what they're showing us with their style of play and what they're doing. So it's exciting. I think they're doing a heck of a job as a staff, and hats off to them.
All right. Well, you're doing one heck of a job on Friday nights with me, and Thursday nights apparently too. Whenever called upon off the sidelines and off the bench, Coach, you're the best. Appreciate you. Yeah. Look forward to seeing you and talking to you. Halls at Central on Friday night on the KOC Game of the Week. You're the man.
Partner, I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Don. That is Don Mahoney. Excellent analysis. Knew he'd bring it. That's the kind of stuff in breaking down the game with all of his coaching experience, 25 years on the FBS level, and did a great job at Tennessee as well. Don Mahoney here on the Sports Animal.